Living your what?
Dreams.
Dreams. Our dreams. So you know it from own experience.
Yes, I'm experiencing. How can you plan that?
Huh?
How can you plan ahead what you're going to do? No.
You know what you're doing. I mean, don't you? I know what I'm doing.
Yes, but you know, after getting enlightenment, then you will know what you're going to do. You know, not
necessary to be planned
beforehand.
Is that
right?
Because
Lung Da,
he
do a dream of staying at home, and he
had
to get
stuck. It's very difficult to say. I mean, Lung Da dreamed, you know, of helping the Thai. With the Thai nation, you know, 20 years ago. He knew this is going to happen. To a child. He knew it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you have to stay with present.
But that was the future, 20 years ago. Or 30 years ago. It's difficult to say, and
you cannot plan that after enlightenment I'll go home or something like that. It's so funny.
How do you know? She knows the life.
She knows it. She knows both of it. She just like that.
Kaya, can you be so kind and bring me a glass of water? I mean, we all do experience. Yeah, come a little bit closer, so I don't have to strain my voice so much. I mean, Tanaita Mahabhoa calls the work of practitioner, the work of meditation, the most difficult work in the world. But, on the other hand, it has the best results. So it's much easier to go around, to travel around, to look at this and to look at that. Even wanting to know about this or about that, than to want to know about one's heart. So whenever something comes up, it is important, we need to see this, we need to see that. We need to see this person or that person because he might be able to help us. The only thing that helps us is... There it is. But we are fooled and we believe it. Because we always believe what our mind tells us. Doesn't it? It tells us to go there and then we go there. And we just follow it. We follow this and we follow that. We like this and we don't like that. Because it tells us. You don't like this? Or you hate that person? You need to do this, and this is very important. It's much more important than practice. Doesn't he tell us very often? I mean, without this we can't get enlightened. But the enlightenment, you know, takes place in our heart. So wherever we go, you know, that's where we can get enlightened. Wherever we do our work on the heart, that's where we get enlightened. But he's a master of fooling us. And we believed him all our lives, that's why we follow him. And we never question him. Because when questioning Him, we question ourselves. Because we believe actually that we are that thing that we follow. We believe that we are the commands. We believe that we are the likes and dislikes. Or we believe that we are the foolishness or the smartness. I mean, whatever is there in our mind, that's what we believe we are. Whatever there is, the body, feeling, memories, thoughts and consciousness, that's what belief we are. That's why the Lord Buddha taught us to see them as anatta, to see them, to tell us, this is not me, this is not myself, that doesn't belong to me. And when we look at it in this way, then we suddenly see, there is a body. Oh, okay. There is feeling. Okay. And we can look at it, we can observe it. We can see it. It is arising and it is ceasing. It is arising and ceasing. Now at the moment it's a body arising and ceasing. Then it's feeling arising and ceasing. Then it's memory arising and ceasing. With the memory comes a feeling. It also ceases. And then comes a thought. That also ceases. And the thought triggers a memory. That also ceases. Everything arises and ceases. That's what it's called anicca. It's impermanent. Our body itself arises and ceases through birth and death. But it constantly changes. It changes from young to old. It changes from the state of healthiness to the state of sickness. Nothing ever in this whole universe stays permanent, is permanent. But we identify with these changes, we accept the changes because we see them around us. We accept the change that we get old, or we accept the change that we get sick, though we might not like it. And we accept the change that we die. So then everything seems to be normal again, and it is still us. But inside, within us, we have a deep feeling that we are not impermanent, that we are permanent, that there is something lasting. And that is what the citta tells us. Because the citta is the only thing that doesn't belong to the realm of conventional reality. And it has never been born and it will never die. That is the only thing that lasts. But everything that is on the on the surface of the citta doesn't last. That is conventional reality. This universe itself doesn't last. Our world doesn't last. We do not last. We change. We constantly change from one thing to another thing. Our feelings change from a pleasant feeling to an unpleasant feeling. Our moods are changing. So how can we say, I'm in this mood, or I'm in that mood? They are changing. Yesterday I was in this mood, and today I'm in that mood. They're constantly changing. It's everything around us is changing. Everything around us is anicca. If we could see it just this way, as anatta, that is not me, that doesn't belong to me, that's not myself. I mean, there wouldn't be any attachment to it. We just see it as things are. Okay, observe it. And be disinterested in it. Have no interest, have no attachment. Don't want to change. Because if you want to change something, if you like something or if you dislike something, then dukkha comes. So as long as there is attachment, there is dukkha. And the attachment is not only for pleasant things, the attachment is also for unpleasant things. Because I don't like that, I want to get rid of it. That's also a form of attachment. So as long as we have this attachment to the things that are happening around us or that seem to happen around us, I mean, we have dukkha. If a pleasant thing changes into an unpleasant thing, we have dukkha, because we attach to the unpleasant thing. We attach to the pleasant thing, and then we attach to the unpleasant thing, because we don't like it, or we don't like the change. I mean, the Lord Buddha gave us anicca anatta dukkha for our investigation, gave it as tools to investigate the five khandhas, that the five khandhas indeed change constantly. Our body changes constantly. I mean, it just grows. In the beginning it just grows, and then it goes, and it becomes old. Our feelings have changed, our thoughts have changed, our memories have changed. Everything has changed. So what is it actually that we call I, and mine, and myself? What is it? I like, I hate, I dislike, I don't want, I want. What is it? Where is it coming from? That's the other power that reigns this universe. It's called avijja. Avijja, of course, has all its interest is that this conventional reality exists and continues to exist. So he's going to fool us, or it is going to fool us, whatever you want to say. You can say it as a personal enemy, or you can say it as a power. Depends on your preference. Avijja is there. And as long as avijja is there, there is this conventional reality. And of course it persuades us to stay in this conventional reality. Because the more people it has, you know, the more beings it has, the more it feels confident. Just think about a king with no subject. I mean, what's the use of being a king? But the more subjects he has, you know, the more power he has over his subjects, isn't it? So a king who has a lot of subjects is then called an emperor. And somebody who has only few subjects is called a law. It's power. It is a avijja that wants this power over all the beings. It has the power over all the beings in this realm, in this conventional reality. And we think we are this avijja. We really think, we really believe it. And because of believing it, or believing in it, we act according to the laws that govern this universe, or that govern this conventional reality. I mean, we really have forgotten that we played, you know, that we came into this game by playing it. So we have to adhere to the rules of the game. We forgot that there is something substantial, something that never dies, something that is aware of what is going on. And that is the citta. We forget it. Each moment we forget it. The moment we have sati, we are reminded of it. That there is something, you know, that observes this pain, or that observes the hate, or observes the grief. That the greed and the thing that knows about the greed is not one and the same thing. I mean, when I say observe or know, it's one of the, points to the same thing. You can say it as observer, or you can say of the knowingness. Knowingness is part of our citta. It is that part that never dies. When everything dies away, that is what is remains. And we can experience that in the state of apana samadhi. If we just would be able to put our mind to rest, just be able to concentrate the mind on just one point. I mean, every one of us, we could experience it. But you see, you know, you try it and try it, and then you get fed up because it's so difficult. Then you try something else, then you do something else. Then you think, maybe I should go to this town or to this city, or maybe I should visit this person or that person, maybe he can help me, you know. I mean, if the Lord Buddha, at the times of the Lord Buddha, if he could help the people around him, you know, he would have helped them. The only way how he could help them is to tell them the path of practice. That is what you have to do. And then when you're finished with this, that is what you have to do. I mean, each person tells us the same thing. I mean, each person, you know, each teacher that we run to, each spiritual teacher we run to, tells us the same thing. I mean, look at your own citta. I don't criticize others, you know. Look at the faults within your own heart. Do investigation. Investigate the five khandhas. See them as anicca, anatta, or dukkha. Every one of the teachers is telling us. I mean, if he could heave us, you know, onto a different level of consciousness, I mean, every one of us would do it. The Lord Buddha himself would have done. But he couldn't. Because each one of us has to make the decision that I want to get out of this, what I call virtual reality game. But we love this game because it seems so interesting. It's moving all the time. And we just play it and play it. As long as they were on computers, we played games. Other games, you know, Monopoly or whatever, you know. All these games. Card games. Bridge. I mean, the British love to play bridge. And so on. Or chess or things like that. And so we play this game of conventional reality. Where the master in this game is avijja. And you don't think of going back. And the Lord Buddha, all what he could do is, you know, to put his hand on our shoulder and say, hey, realize, this is not real. And each of the arahants that are living and have practiced the path of the Lord Buddha can tell us just the same thing. Just this thing. Hey, look, what are you doing? Have mindfulness. What is going on? See the five khandhas as anicca, anatta, dukkha. Investigate them. So to see it for yourself. So you can free yourself. Because you have to make the decision to get out of this game. Or you have to make the decision in the Buddhist world, in the Buddhist terms, you have to the decision to get out of the cycle of death and birth. Of this constant rebirth. You have to make the decision every moment of your life. Am I going, you know, to get out, or am I going to have a break? Do I go, you know, visit this place, or visit that place, or visit this teacher, and visit that teacher? But each teacher will tell you the same thing. If he's an arahant, if he's a true spiritual teacher. So why to run from this place to that place, from this teacher to that teacher? I mean, if you find a good teacher, you know, stay and stick with him. It's also what the Lord Buddha teaches. If you find a good teacher, you know, where you practice progress, you know, stick to them, even if he kicks you out. Come back. Because from him you can learn. Even if you don't like it, even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, stick. Even if the four requisites are not enough, you know, stick with him. He taught his monks. But if you have a teacher, you know, where everything is plenty, where you feel completely satisfied, but your practice does not go on, leave him. Leave him immediately. Because your practice is not progress. I mean, everything is fine, and you know, And then we feel complacent and we don't want to. But our practice is stagnant. It doesn't go on. So, that's why we stay. And that's why we stay also in the world. It's the same thing. It's a place, you know, we have agreed, you know, with the rules of the game. So, we can live with the rules of the game more or the less. So why fight the master? I mean, that's a question. Why fight him? I mean, it's so comfortable, isn't it? I mean, when we are dead, you know, we are reborn again. That's no problem. I mean, we just have to go through childhood again. Or some of us might get, you know, down to the lower runs, become animals, or we will be born as animals, or hungry ghosts, or demons, or beings in the hell realm. But that passes on as well. So what's the problem? If we agree with the game, you know, we have to agree with all the aspects of the game, not just one aspect. I just want to be in heaven. Of course, yes. Yeah. Don't we? When you teach one, the Lord will laugh. Okay, sabai, sabai. But that is not how the game is is played. It's just one stay, and then we fall. And we fall back. Fall back to hell. Once we passed our time in hell, you know, we go back to heaven. And then once in a while we go to the human realm where we create enough karma, you know, that sends us to hell and heaven for the next 2,000 to 200,000 years. Wonderful. Just in one day, you know, we can make so much merit that we go for a long, long time to the heavenly world. And in one day we can, just through our stupid decision, we can make a decision to go for hell for 100,000 years. I mean, it's easy. So the Lord Buddha actually only pointed the path out. Clear the way, you know, to see the path that we have to walk along. But it's us who have to walk. Nobody can make the steps for us. Each step that we take is a step forward. Each step that we don't make are two steps backward. It's just like swimming against the current of a river. I mean, if you don't swim, I mean, all but you're going to be driven by the current backwards. But we have to swim against the river to get to the source of all. And that's it, every day. I mean, the Lord Buddha said, if you don't take a step forward, you make two steps backward. And that's the same thing. And everything that we do, and that is why it's so difficult when we are in this world, it's going against the stream of society. I mean, society just flows down the river. And we are going upstream. So everybody is going to question us. What are you doing? Are you crazy? You're nuts. Why don't you enjoy this? Eh? They want to invite us to enjoy their bad deeds. Or their bad karma. To follow their bad karma, because the more people make bad karma, I mean, the more they feel secure. They think, you know, if 1 million of people do bad karma, you know, then it must be sure. It must be, you know, it must be secure that so many people cannot go to hell. But it's actually not what the Lord Buddha teaches. There are so many people going to hell and so few people going to heaven or nibbana. Because nobody actually goes the stony path. And when we are Christians, we remember that. The masses are going through the broad door that leads to destruction and only going the stony path that leads to the realms of heaven. But most of us just don't remember. Isn't that how it works? If you do not keep within the realms of the five precepts, I mean, we certainly will go down. The Lord Buddha so kindly explained everything to us. He said if you keep the five precepts, the better you can keep them, the more secure you are not to fall down in the lower realm. And the lower realm starts with the animal realm, and the ghost realms, and the demon realms, and then the hell realm. And he teaches us, if you do merit, if you have respect and gratitude, you will make it up to the heavenly realm. He teaches us all these things. He says, if we serve another person without thinking about ourselves, the next life we are born, we become beautiful. Everybody sees the deeds of our previous life. Because everybody in this world, you know, admires beauty, be it in a man or be it in a woman. And that means, you know, that person has given his life for serving for others. If he serves with his whole body will be beauty. If he serves with his hand will be beauty. Or in the terms of man, you say handsome. Doesn't really matter. If you're generous, you will become rich. I mean, that's all the things that he teaches. If you constantly say telling lies, I mean, in the next life you will be born and you will stink out of your mouth. So that nobody even comes close to you. So you can't tell lies anymore. Because nobody wants to listen what you say because you open your mouth and you... And the people, you know, just vanish, you know, run away from you. I mean, these are the effects of karma, and he explains it in one of the suttas in the middle length day. I mean, it's quite interesting to see that. It's quite interesting to hear it, and sometimes it's interesting to reflect upon this. So he gave us all the things that we need, you know, to make our life happy. Or he gave us all the things that we need, you know, to get out of the cycle of death and birth. I mean, it's up to us to choose what we want. If people want to get rich, okay. I mean, they know what to do. If people want to become beautiful, you know, they know what to do. So there's no mystery behind all these things. There's no mystery why one was born in this kind of family or in that kind of family, or in this kind, in this nation or in that nation. It's all the results of our karma. There's no mystery behind it. It's a result of our own deeds. In other words, if we sow potatoes, we will reap potatoes. We don't reap wheat. I mean, that should be clear to every farmer, you know, or every gardener who has planted roses, and he knows he doesn't get other flowers. I mean, that's the way of the world. You think it only this law holds only true for physical objects, but it also holds true for our own self, for our own citta, for our body, for feeling, for memory, and so on. Whatever we do will have a result. And whatever we experience now, right now, in this very moment, or in the next moment, is the result of our karma. Nothing else. So the next time a difficult situation arises in our life, well, we just greet it. Hi, there you are. That's my karma coming back to me. Wonderful. And it shows me, you know, what I have done in the past. If I see it correctly, it shows me exactly what I have done in the past. It shows me my pattern of behavior that leads to this kind of karma. So the moment that karma comes, you know, we greet it and let it go. And then we change the things that are still in our heart that leads to this kind of karma. We are proving. And the more we uproot the kilesas that lead to this kind of karma, I mean, the more freer we are. I mean, there's nothing more simple and there's nothing more easy to understand and there's nothing more reasonable and there's nothing more logical than the teachings of the Lord Buddha. But there's nothing more difficult than to follow the teachings of the Lord Buddha. To follow the path. Because every part in us, every part of the kilesas that are stored in this body or in our memories or in our feelings or in our thoughts are against it. That's why when we go along the path that we have to swim against the stream. So to round it up, it's up to each one of us. And there's nothing that can help us to make a step by step along the path, except our own effort, our own determination, and our own patience, and our own joy going along the path. Maybe sometimes we don't see the results of our work. So we get frustrated and say, okay, you know, all the work I did for the last 3 weeks have no results. So I give up the practice because it doesn't lead to anything. Or I'm too old and I can't do it anymore. I mean, our citta is as young or as old as it always was. It doesn't grow old, the citta. Because it has never been born. How can it grow old? I mean, the body grows old, but the mind doesn't. The citta itself is young. So we can do it. We still can do it. We still can train the citta, because the citta doesn't get old. Each day, even the last day before our last breath, you know, we still can train it. We can train it at least to be mindful of what is going on, to be aware of what is going on, to be aware that there is a thought coming into our mind, be aware that there is a memory coming in our mind, be aware that there is a feeling coming in, and see it as anicca, see it as anatta. Each time it comes, you know, see it as anicca, see it as anatta. And don't tell this is me. If a wish comes in, you know, see it as anicca, see there is a wish coming in. Not I want, there's wanting coming in. And if you don't pay any heed to the wanting, you know, it will just disappear like anything else. Or there's disagreement coming. Not we disagree, I mean there's just disagreement. So it comes up, it stays for a little while and it passes away. If we do not give any heed. But if I say, you know, I disagree, I mean, then I take it on, and then I have to suffer. Then dukkha is coming, because I attached it. So develop determination, develop effort, and develop patience. And know what you want. And if you know what you want, then go ahead and do it. If you want to go to heaven, okay, there's nothing wrong with going to heaven. If you want to get out of the realm of rebirth, you can do it. I mean, don't say I can't do it. I mean, Tanachanman and Tanachan Sao faced the same difficulties. I mean, 100 years ago, because the monks at that time where they were in the monastery told you, you can't go to Nibbana anymore. Nibbana was 2,500 years ago. But they didn't believe it. So they made it. So they went their own way, they went on Tudong, and finally each one of them realized Nibbana in that very life. But if they have, of course, believed the monks, you know, all the monks that were around them at that time, I mean, they wouldn't have made the effort and determination to go to the end. So it's up to us to make up the determination and effort. I mean, it's up to us, you know, to find our freedom. If we want to do something, we can do it. I mean, who tells us that we can't do it? Huh? Who tells us we can't do it? Huh? Avicca. Because Avicca, of course, doesn't want us to do it. That's the only thing that hinders us. That's the only enemy that we have. And this enemy we have to fight. I mean, if I want to, I don't advise it, we can learn all the magic powers. It takes a long time, it takes a lot of effort and determination, but we can do it. There's a certain, you know, there's certainly some path to it, to learn it. If you find the right teacher, you know, then we learn it from him. Whatever we want to do, we can. I mean, the only one who puts the limitation on us is our kilesa. There's nothing else in Avicca. I can't do that. Oh, it's so difficult. And actually, you know, if you would be aware of what is going on, you would see, oh, it's so difficult. And then we say, oh, I can't do it. I don't get any results. That's the first thing that pops up in our mind. And then we say, oh, I can't do that. Yeah, that's what's happening. Now, of course, I don't say it's difficult. I started, you know, the talk was saying, you know, there's no work that is so hard and difficult as the work of practice. But that doesn't mean that we can't do it. We can. And with this, I encourage all of you, you know, to give the utmost and put it into practice. And with this, I end the talk. So if you have questions, you know, you are... feel free to ask them. Have you understood anything? A bit. Kauchait nit noi.
Kauchait
nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi. Kauchait nit noi.